can you be sure you're going to heaven when you die? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. Welcome. So great to have you with us. This is the place where we answer your questions about the Christian life every day. I'm Bill Meyer, along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and you can call us right now with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. Now, during this coronavirus crisis, one of the things we are trying to do here on Core Christianity is share some of the good news, things that have been happening around the country that really we think will put a smile on your face, people who are making a difference. As you might expect, elderly people are particularly anxious about coming down with the coronavirus. And in Bend, Oregon, a young woman stepped in to help an elderly couple that was in need. I wanted to share this with you. Rebecca Mayra is a 25-year-old professional runner. She was walking into a Safeway store after track practice when she heard a woman calling to her from a parked car. So she went over and she found the woman and her husband both in their 80s, and they asked her for help. They didn't have any family nearby. They were afraid about going into the store and possibly catching the virus. And they'd been waiting in their car for 45 minutes for just the right person to ask. Well, Rebecca was that person. She bought the items the couple needed. She placed the bags in their trunk, gave them back their change, and I'm sure put a big smile on their face. Isn't that great, Adriel?
Oh, that is great. Yeah, you know, just... it makes me grateful for the body of Christ, because we've been seeing a lot of these sort of acts of service within our church. And I know, you know, other churches as well are doing the same. It's so important for us as Christians to really be sensitive to the needs of the people around us, especially, as you were saying, Bill, those who are the most vulnerable.
That's right. Well, let's jump into our first question. And this one comes from Justin, who emailed us. He says, regarding the coronavirus, what are some ways that your churches have used technology to encourage one another as local gatherings are shut down? I know about video meetings, but are there any other creative ways that your flock is caring for one another using technology?
Hey, thanks for that question, Justin. Yeah, let me just share some of the ways at least our church has been approaching this issue. We have been live streaming our service every Sunday on Facebook Live and YouTube. And the plus there is that we've had a lot of people join us who don't always go to church on a Sunday. Even, you know, friends that we've made in the neighborhood where I pastor who aren't believers, who wouldn't call themselves Christians, have been willing to watch the live stream, which has been really, really encouraging for me. The whole thing has sort of reminded me of how God uses bad situations to keep advancing the gospel. And in the book of Acts, the disciples were sort of hunkered down in Jerusalem, and it wasn't until persecution came that they began to spread the gospel out throughout the rest of the world. And so sometimes God uses circumstances like this to advance his word. And I wonder if, you know, through live streaming, preaching, teaching on a Sunday morning, more people aren't hearing the word than normally would. We have also been using Zoom, which you might be familiar with now. Before all of this started, I had no idea what Zoom was, but we do a Wednesday night prayer meeting on Zoom, which has been a real blessing, kind of an opportunity just for us to see each other's faces and to pray for each other and for the world in this very difficult time. And then I've been trying to send as many sort of email updates, oftentimes with video updates to our congregation. Now, not everyone opens those emails, I'm told, but just in whatever way we can, we got to be honest, you know, there's no replacement for gathering together with the body of Christ. I miss that. I think all of us do and should. If you don't feel a sense of there's something missing right now as a Christian, I think that that might be an indication that there's something wrong, because I think, you know, we are united to the body of Christ, God's people, and we should long to be back in one another's presence. We can't do that right now. So, you know, it's been neat to use some of these different things, you know, whether it's Zoom or social media, Facebook Live, YouTube, to get the word out. But I'm praying, and I hope that you're praying as well, that very soon the Lord will open the doors for us to all be back together again. Bill, what are you guys doing at your church?
Many of the same things you're doing, Adriel. In fact, my small group met last night via Zoom, and we were all sitting around in our different living rooms, and some of us with our dogs right next to us, joining in the small group discussion. And it was interesting, though, because when we signed off after an hour with our small group, we ended in prayer. My wife said to me, that was kind of sad. And she didn't mean it was sad in that, you know, she was glad that we got together with our small group, but the fact that we weren't there in person. We weren't able to embrace and just have that human touch that we normally have in our group. We always have a meal together before we meet. And it was just a little more sterile, as you were saying. We missed that human connection that we would get when we're meeting personally. So I, like you, I'm waiting for that moment that we can start getting together again. One thing that, and I'm sure you've addressed this in your own church, one thing I think every Christian needs to bear in mind right now is that so many churches are struggling because people are not tithing in the way they normally would. Now, part of that's because many people have lost their jobs, but the other part of that is that we're not passing an offering plate each week. Hmm. So it's important for all of us to continue giving if we can at right now, and certainly tithing, whether that's electronically, whether that's through the mail, because a lot of churches right now are in a danger of failing.
Bill, thanks for saying that. You know, I'm going to share this episode specifically with the people of my church so they hear what you said. But, you know, and it's neat because with technology, you know, there are ways to give online now for a lot of churches, but many churches are trying to figure these kinds of things out. This is also a time where the church can come alongside of those who are in need. So you mentioned, you know, those who have lost their jobs. I mean, we're finding just diaconally, this is the time for the church to step up. Maybe people aren't able to give because, you know, they're in a real difficult situation. Well, that's where we as the body of Christ come together and care for each other. And so I'm excited for how the Lord is working in this time, despite the fact that it's difficult.
Yeah. We purchased a couple of $1,000 worth of grocery gift cards, which we are helping those in our congregation who are struggling right now, who are out of work. And we're basically saying, hey, if you need this, just let us know. So, Well, let's go to one of our callers. Caleb is on the line with a question for us.
Hi, my name is Caleb Collins. I'm from Clinton, Mississippi. I go to school in Decatur, Mississippi, and been a Christian for 10 years now. And a buddy of mine is kind of wrestling back and forth about which way he's leaning. Is he agnostic? Is he, you know, questioning his faith, whatever? But at the same time, he has a couple of Christian tattoos. Like, he has a God is greater than the highs and lows tattoo on his bicep. So I was just wondering what's the best way to go about talking to him, because he knows what the Bible says for the most part, but he grew up in a family where his parents taught him the quote-unquote science behind why life exists. So just kind of wrestling with that. I appreciate any feedback you guys can give me. Thanks.
Hey, Caleb, you know, I'm encouraged by your question just because you care for your friend and you want to see this friend walk with the Lord, and you're concerned about his spiritual life. And so, you know, that's encouraged. I think that's how we should be as Christians. We want to care for each other. And when one of us, when somebody who was maybe brought up in the church is going by the wayside, you know, we want to come alongside of them, just like you're trying to do right now. A couple of encouragements for you. One, just pray for your friend. I mean, start there, because really what we need is the Lord to open the heart and the eyes. Spiritually, we're blind. We need the Spirit of God to work in our lives. And so I would encourage you, first and foremost, make sure that you're praying for your friend and asking the Lord to work in his life. I think about the account of Lydia in the book of Acts. We're told that as the word of God was preached, the Lord opened her heart to receive the words that were being spoken. And that's what your friend needs, it sounds like. And the other encouragement is the power is in the word. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. And so resting in that, knowing that it's not going to be, you know, your clever argument per se, although I think that it's okay to make arguments and to build a case and to say, here's why we believe the things that we believe. Oftentimes God uses that to convince someone, but it really is the word transforming a person's heart and mind. And so I would also encourage you, if your friend is willing, if you're in a good church, encourage him to join you, to go to church, to be under the preaching of the word. Even if he's doubting, even if he's not sure, if he's willing to go, you'd be surprised at the kind of effect that the word can have on someone who's just there, sitting under the ministry of the word. And I think that this is a good reminder for all of us. You know, when you're struggling with your faith, or when you've fallen into some sin, don't stop going to church. You need the church. I mean, Hebrews chapter 3, I mean, we were just talking about how sad it is right now that we're not able to gather together. Because you think about a text like Hebrews chapter 3, where we're told we got to encourage each other day by day, lest we're hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We need that encouragement. We need to be under the word. And so pray for your friend, share the word with him with confidence, knowing that it's the word of God that does the work that changes the heart, the mind. And the last thing I'd just say is give you a couple of recommendations, books that I think might be helpful if your friend is really trying to sort of dig in and ask some difficult questions about why we believe the things that we believe. There's a book by Greg Kokel called The Story of Reality. I found that that book is really accessible, and it does a great job at sort of addressing some of these issues. We can put that book in the show notes. And also, Mere Christianity, the classic by C.S. Lewis, just a wonderful book that I often share with people who have questions, who are skeptical. And so that's how I'd approach it. I hope that you continue to encourage your friend, Caleb. Thanks for your question.
Couple of great recommendations on books, Adriel. I had a chance to interview Greg Kokel a couple of years ago on that book when it first came out. And man, The Story of Reality would be something for every Christian to have in their home library. When they're talking to somebody who's grappling with these issues, agnostic, atheist, it's exactly answers those questions in a very powerful way. So great recommendation. Well, Raquel wrote in, actually she posted on our Facebook page, and she asks this question: do you believe that all Christians are filled with the Spirit, or do we need to seek the filling of the Spirit after we become believers?
Ooh, great question. You know, so yes, and both, actually. Well, it's interesting. It's one of the things that we take for granted. Did you know canned food used to be kind of a luxury item? I did some research a while back, and early on when canned food was first introduced, it was really something that only people of means, if you were wealthy, you could get your hands on canned food. And then as it began to be more mass produced, it was democratized. I mean, everybody could get their hands on it. And now, you know, when we think about canned food, it's like, oh yeah, there's some in my cupboard that's taking up space, or I give it away or whatnot. But initially it was something that, I mean, that was only for the wealthy. Well, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was only for not the wealthy, but those who were in a special position. You think of the prophets, you think of the priests, you think of the kings that were anointed with the Spirit. And then you have this prophecy in Joel chapter 2 that says, one day God is going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Mm-hmm. In other words, the Spirit of God is going to be democratized, the young and the old, the rich and the poor, men and women. It's not just going to be the priests and the prophets, the special class, if you will. It's going to be the children, men, women, rich, poor. And so that's one of the things that the New Covenant promises us, is that everyone who is in the New Covenant is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Raquel. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And just a few verses later, in verse 13, he says that by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. And so everyone, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit, Paul says in the book of Ephesians. But we're also called to be filled. And then 10 verses later in chapter 12, verse 13, he says, by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And so this is really important for us to understand. Everyone who's a believer in Jesus Christ is filled with, sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is one of the promises that the prophet Joel foresaw in Joel chapter 2. God pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, young, old, rich, poor, man, woman, everyone in the body of Christ. You have the Spirit of God if you are in Christ. Now, you're also called to be filled with the Spirit. And that's why I said, you know, at the beginning of the question, it's sort of both, right? But we're called to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, 18, Paul says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. It's an imperative. Well, how do we do that? You think of the parallel passage from Ephesians 5:18, one in Colossians, where Paul says that we're filled with the Spirit as the word of Christ dwells in us richly. Now, I think that this is a really, really important point, right? We're all sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in us because we're believers. But the way that we're filled continually throughout the Christian life is by letting the word of Jesus Christ dwell in us richly. So what an encouragement for you, for all of us, to be saturated in the Word of God, to open up the Scriptures, to read them, to go to church, to listen to good preaching. You know, that's how we're filled with the Holy Spirit. I found that there's so much confusion today about, you know, how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Do I need to go up into the mountains and fast for 3 days until the Spirit of God just sort of falls on me? Do I have to, you know, do this, that, or the other? No, it's let the Word of Jesus Christ dwell in you richly. That's how we're filled with the Spirit. So thank you for that question. It's both. We have the Spirit and we're called to be filled with the Spirit, and we're filled with the Spirit through the word of Jesus.
Well, thank you so much for your question, Raquel. By the way, if you have a question for us, here is the number to call. It's 1-833-843-2673. That's 1-833-843-2673. You can also spell it out. It's 833-THE-CORE. You can also send us a question on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter accounts. We would love to hear your question. By the way, we've mentioned a couple times this week that our good friend, Dr. Michael Horton, is not joining us on a daily basis, but will be dropping by every once in a while. And we actually have a special message from Michael to play for you today.
As we reflect on the difficulties families, churches, businesses, our nation, and basically all people around the world right now are facing, having a sure confidence in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and in his resurrection on our behalf is absolutely critical. We aim to answer the hard, unsettling questions of our times with both skeptics and committed Christians in mind. We want to give answers that not only show why Christianity is true, but also why it's good and beautiful. Your support, alongside the work of our team, is making a real difference in people's lives, a difference in helping others to live with hope, joy, and confidence. And that difference is eternal. So please consider sending a gift right now to help us continue. As a thank you gift for $20 or more, we'll send you our brand new Core Christianity Bible study on Paul's letter to the Romans. To make a gift and receive this study on Paul's letter to the Romans, head on over to corechristianity.com. That's corechristianity.com. On behalf of the entire team at Core Radio, thanks for your support.
Thank you so much for your support. I do hope that you get your hands on that resource. I mean, the book of Romans is such a powerful book of the New Testament, and it's a book that has changed so many people's lives. One guy in particular who you may have heard of, the Protestant reformer named Martin Luther, it was as he was reading the book of Romans that his life was transformed. He says when he got to that statement that Paul quotes in Romans, "The just shall live by faith," listen to what Luther said. He said, "When I discovered that, I was born again of the Holy Ghost, and the doors of paradise swung open, and I walked through them." Talk about transformation. You're going to want to get your hands on this study on the book of Romans. It's yours for a donation of $20 or more. And so head over to corechristianity.com/offers to get your copy of our new Bible study on Romans. Take advantage of that.
Let's go back to the phones, Adriel. We have Ron on the line with a question for us.
Hi, my name is Ron Garrison. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. My question is, basically, how do we pray? And what I mean by that is, the Bible talks about being close with Christ, and Christ is in the Father, and the Father is in Christ. And Jesus says, "Come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, or come to me and I'll open the door, just knock." But nowhere in the Bible does anyone pray to Jesus, or do Christians talk about praying to Jesus. We just pray in his name. How do we have a relationship with Christ if we're not praying to him? How does that work? That's my question. Thanks.
Hey, Ron, great question. And, you know, it reminds me of the question that the disciples asked when they were with Jesus. Luke 11, chapter 1 says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples.'" It's as if, you know, the disciples over and over again, they see Jesus going off to be with the Father, to pray. You know, we're told repeatedly throughout the Gospels, he'd get up early in the morning before the sun had risen, or he'd go off, you know, up to a mountain to pray by himself. So one of the things that we know about the life of Jesus is that he was committed to prayer. And I think that's one of the reasons why the disciples are so curious. You know, we don't ever hear them saying, "Lord, teach us how to do miracles," or "teach us how to raise the dead," or "teach us how to preach as you preach. You know, Jesus, your sermons are so amazing, so compelling, you draw the crowds." But they do say, "Teach us how to pray." And then he gives them the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." What is prayer? I think that's a really important question to ask as I think about your question, Ron. It's an offering up of our desires to God for things that are agreeable to his will in the name of Jesus Christ, with confession of our sins. I mean, that's a part of prayer. and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. I mean, so there are different ways to pray. Sometimes we pray a prayer of confession. Sometimes we pray a prayer of thanksgiving. But we're pouring our hearts out to God in prayer. And ordinarily, as you know, in Scripture, prayer is offered to the Father through the mediation of the Son. In other words, we're approaching God the Father through what Jesus has done for us. And that's why typically in the Bible, prayer is addressed to the Father. But prayers are offered to Jesus as well. In fact, in John chapter 14, verse 14, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." And then in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, we're told that Stephen, as he was being stoned, prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." So if you're concerned, Ron, about praying to Jesus, I don't think you have to be. We can pray to the Father, we can pray to the Son, we can pray to the Holy Spirit. But understand this, the bold access we have to God in prayer comes to us because of what Jesus did. So every time we approach God, every time we approach the Father, it's through Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, and what he's done for us. And so that's why we have a relationship, and how we have a relationship with Jesus, it's through what he's done for us. And we pray to him, we thank him, we worship him. Thank you for your question.
Great clarification for Ron there, Adriel. Well, Angel is on the line with another question for us, and we alluded to this one at the top of the program. Angel, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Angel. I'm from North Platte, Nebraska. And my question is, how do we know we are going to heaven when we die? How do I know my mom made it to heaven when she died? Thank you.
Angel, first I just want to say I'm sorry to hear about your mom. I know that had to be very difficult, and that more than anything, you know, you want to be comforted with the knowledge that she's in the presence of the Lord right now. Directly to your question, you know, there are two verses that come to mind. How can we know that we're going to heaven when we die? Well, the first one is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Listen to what John said there. He said, "I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." We know we're going to heaven when we die because we believe in Jesus Christ. Now, it's not the strength of our faith. It's not the fact that you have a lot of faith and that's why you're saved. Because the reality is, a lot of times we have a weak faith, and yet even a weak faith saves, Angel, and here's why. It lays hold of a strong Savior, Jesus. That's what faith is. It's like an empty hand that receives Jesus, his grace, his benefits for us. We're clinging to Jesus. We're holding on to him. Sometimes our faith is weak, but Jesus is strong. So how can you know? Well, my question is, do you believe in Jesus? You think about your mom, you know, the question that you asked there. The other passage that I would bring into play here is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul's encouraging the church there because they had relatives who had died and they were concerned, you know, where are they? What's happening with them? Listen to what Paul said. He said, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep." Right there, he's referring to those who have died, "that you may not grieve as others who have no hope." And then he says in verse 14, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. The hope that you have for your mom is, look, when we believe, we have eternal life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. He saves us and he rose from the dead. We can encourage each other with those words. And I want to encourage you with those words too, Angel. God bless you.
You know, Adriel, that is a question on so many people's minds, especially right now with this fear of coronavirus. If I was to die, would I be going to heaven? And I mean, there is that clear promise. We don't have to fear. We know that we will be with him in eternity.
You know, we look away from ourselves. The gospel is good news. And I want to encourage you who are listening right now, look to Jesus.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar, or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.